All right, listen, we're going to start off this first dipper, Regulation Nation. So here's the thing. There are times when I recognize and I fully admit that government has a role. It does. The essential services of life provided by government are things that you and I expect, things like policing, things like emergency services, things like infrastructure, like building roads and bridges, that kind of thing. There is usually a constitutional mandate to provide an education, although we've seen time and again that the government version of education is usually not near the quality that we would expect or want. Government provides a military. I mean, to provide for the common defense, secure the general welfare, ensure the general welfare, all these things are necessary. But there's a limit. And yet, too often, government does not know its own limits. What we see by and large is that regulations are nothing but hindrances to actual progress. There's a clip. By the way, get that audio clip. I'm going to go ahead and call for that pretty soon here. I think I'm going to play it here, like maybe before the break. But government agencies a lot of times get involved in setting the tone without passing laws because they are not lawmakers, without signing executive orders because they are not executive branch, you know, bosses, CEOs. And too often they are staffed with people who have never had to be out in the private sector knowing what it means to actually cut a paycheck, balance a budget, pay your employees, maybe not pay yourself, and try to get something done. And they keep putting more and more regulations on. And these government agencies too often do these things to justify their own existence. It's as if they need to show the world why they are who they are, so they put another regulation in place that they can enforce, and it becomes a self-licking ice cream cone. I pass the regulation. I get to enforce the regulation. And oh, by the way, I get to penalize you for not abiding by the regulation. And then because I feel like it, I'm going to put another regulation and then I'm going to just basically have a new piece to my resume. It's like the good idea fairy floats through the room and just slaps another regulation on. And they too often don't think about what it does to the private sector. Never mind the fact that the private sector is the producer of society and the government is the consumer of society. The private sector is what feeds the government sector in terms of its revenue. And yet the government is so often what stymies the private sector's ability to do. Now, Elon Musk gave a speech. I'm going to try and get this in before the break. It's a little bit long, so I may stop you in like midstream, JP. But Elon Musk was talking about SpaceX just trying to get the permits to be able to, you know, launch and recover one of its space vehicles. And Elon Musk is pretty funny, actually. He gave this little talk where he was taking Q&A and somebody asked him, what did you have to go through to be able to, you know, bring down one of your SpaceX, you know, vehicles into the ocean? Hear what he had to say. Go ahead and play it.
I mean, I got a bunch of sort of nutty stories, you know. Some of them are, I guess, like kind of funny. There's, you know, we had to do this, SpaceX had to do the study to see if Starship would hit a shark. And I'm like, it's a big ocean, you know. There's a lot of sharks. It's not impossible, but it's very unlikely. And said, well, you have to, you know, this is, I think, from National Marine Fisheries, one of the, you know, NIMF it's called. You know, they were like, well, you have to do the study on whether you're going to hit a shark. We're like, what? We said, okay, fine, we'll do the analysis. And then, well, can you give us the shark data? They're like, no, we can't give you the shark data. We're like, okay, well, then we're a bit of a quandary. How do we solve this difficult, this shark probability issue? They said, well, we could give it to our Western division, but we don't trust them. And I'm like, am I in a comedy sketch here? And then they're worried about the shark density data, like the people who hunt sharks for shark fins somehow getting their hands on the shark data. And so eventually, I think we got the data and we could, you know, run the analysis to say, like, yeah, the sharks are going to be fine.
All right, hold on right here. We're going to play some more of this because it gets better. So sharks, think about this. SpaceX, to be able to launch its you know, its mission, has to talk to wildlife and fisheries or at marine fisheries. Anyway, the bottom line is you think, okay, why does that government agency even have a role? Oh, no, they may land something in the water and it might hit a shark. But then they're scared about the people who hunt sharks knowing where the sharks are, so they don't want to tell Elon Musk where the sharks are so he can study whether the sharks might get hit. And he's like, this is a comedy sketch. It got better. Keep playing it.
But they wouldn't let us proceed with launch until we did this crazy shark data. And then we thought, okay, now we're done. And they said, but what about whales? I'm like, when you look at a picture of the Pacific, what percentage of the surface area of the Pacific do you see as whale? Because I see, look at a picture, I don't see any, it's like, you can't, where's the whale? And honestly, if the ship did hit a whale, it's like, honestly, that whale had it coming, because it's like the odds are so low. You know, it's like Final Destination, the whale edition. It's like fate had it in for that whale, you know. And so we have to do the whale analysis. And it's like, okay, yeah, the whales will be fine too, you know. It goes on and on. And then there's like, well, what if the rocket goes underwater, then explodes, and then the whales have hearing damage? Like, this is real. This is actually, and we're like, look, if we could make a rocket go underwater and be a submarine, that would be like a feat of physics we could not accomplish, okay? This is not how it works. So,
all right, stop. Anyway. Stop. He, by the way, he's actually going to release pictures. Apparently, they were required to capture two seals.
And I was just about to bring that up.
Yes.
He didn't, yeah.
And put headphones on them and test them with rocket noises to see whether or not it impacted the seal's psyche or damaged their hearing. This is government gone amok. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, though, that's Elon Musk. I get it. He's a billionaire. It's SpaceX. He's got the resources. But what about small business? And what about hometown America? What about even right here in Alabama? All right, we're going to talk about it. Regulation Nation, that's who we are, apparently. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower up in here. All right, we're talking about Regulation Nation, the idea that government regulation is at the lowest level going to wind up being necessary because you don't want people building houses that'll fall down when a good wind comes up, right? I get it. You don't want roads that crack and fall apart when the truck drives over them all the time. You don't want, you know, things to be non-standardized so that nothing matches from one state to the next. There's going to be some measure of government regulation that actually works. So I'm not going to try and portray this as like, you know, the so far into the libertarian mindset that you just think that, oh, government's a waste of time. Let us do as we see fit. No, that's called anarchy. That's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about, though, is overregulation, like ridiculous regulation, like the kind that inhibits progress, like the kind that just really exists so that, you know, some bureaucrat somewhere can justify their own existence. That is just absolutely asinine. Well, a minute ago, it was kind of fun to hear, you know, SpaceX owner Elon Musk talk about what it's like as a billionaire to deal with a massive program like SpaceX having to deal with ridiculous government regulation and the requirements that the bureaucrats, the hoops they made him jump through. But he's a billionaire. He's the owner of a massive multi-billion-dollar company. What about the small guy? Well, I got a couple of stories here. Like, first of all, I will say this. Like, a general contractor recently went up, and I've got this. I pulled this off of Jacksonville Local News. Jacksonville, yep, Jacksonville Local News. A guy named Steve Martinez is the president of his own general contracting company. And he went up to testify before Congress, and he told them that government regulations are the barriers to increasing the housing supply. You know, Kamala Harris wants to build 3 million, is it 3 million? 20 million, anyway, millions of new houses. How many houses? I've forgotten how many it was. It's like ridiculous. But she wants to build millions and millions of new houses. But he points out government regulations are the barriers to increasing our housing supply. He says regulatory barriers, including things like complying with building codes, make up nearly 25% of the cost of a single family home, more than 40% of an apartment. Can you imagine that? You're building a house, and 25% of the cost is just trying to comply with... Listen, I can tell you, Charlene and I, we finally built a house. We lived in the same house for 24 years. We built a house 4 or 5 years ago. And right when we... I mean, we're already pre-approved for a septic system. And then the Department of Public Health decided to get a little busy and come in and make a little something happen. And we went from having a pre-approved conventional system that they had already said was okay to they changed their mind, and now we have to have an engineered system with, you know, curtain drains and, you know, mounds in the yard. And this, it's like, what? And it added exponential amount of cost to our home build. But he points out things like one CEO said the average cost of a shipping container has increased 3 times in the last 90 days, he said. This story came out in July, by the way. So this guy asked, what about these regulations? What are we doing? Well, here's a classic example, the little guy. How about this? Americans for Prosperity, the same organization that our two guests are going to be representing here in a few minutes after the next break, they helped out with a situation in Iowa. A guy named William Burt had gotten in trouble with drugs and, you know, being out on the streets and doing things, and he went to jail. And while he was in jail, he was trained to be a barber. I actually had a barber myself who'd been a jailhouse barber who got his license when he got out, did a great job. He loved it. He connected with his patrons. He discovered a calling he thought that was legal, except that when he got out, he worked for somebody with a license. The license himself, by the way, was it cost him, I want to say he had to wind up spending thousands of dollars. Where is it? Yeah, thousands of dollars and take a course and spend several years getting trained. Okay, he did. And then he wanted to open a mobile barbershop. Thought it'd be a wonderful thing. It was the kind of thing he thought, I can go into neighborhoods where they can't go places. They're not as mobile. Maybe there's, you know, retirement centers. I can bring the barbershop to them. He had a great idea. He wrote up a business plan. He invested thousands of his own dollars, and the state of Iowa told him he couldn't do it. Why? It was a violation of the health codes of the state of Iowa. And so they just basically said no. They were squashing his plan. Every state surrounding him allowed this. His didn't. Why? Because his state government was stuck in a rut, and they had a regulation. And so Americans for Prosperity, they got involved. They helped him walk through the process of meeting with his elected officials. He went down to the state capitol. He got legislation passed pretty much personally, along with Americans for Prosperity helping. Iowa alone is not as bad as Alabama, but Iowa alone has occupational licensing laws that they say, some studies say, prohibit like 48,000 jobs from being built, costing billions in economic value every year. But this guy went down there, he did all that it took, and he started his own online campaign. A one-minute video got 40,000 views on YouTube. He started an online petition. Next thing you know, Governor Kim Reynolds is signing a bill, and he's got a mobile barbershop, and he owns a brick-and-mortar barbershop at the same time. The American dream should not be crushed by a bureaucrat deciding here's a new regulation. Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute when we have our guest call in what happened in Hoover that required the community of Hoover to spend $1 million just to know whether they could have a new clinic. It was unbelievable. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on a Meatloaf Monday. I don't know where hour number one even went. I think I enjoyed it too much. But listen, we spent the last half hour or so before we got to that last break talking about government regulation. I'm not a fan. I recognize a role, a place for government in general, but overregulation tends to be a stymieing of the private sector. It tends to crush the ability for government to even exist because the revenues that it, you know, fund government come from the private sector. And then, oh, by the way, more often than not, we find out these regulations are literally, you know, ill thought out, and too often they're designed just to help a governmental department prove its reason for existence. All right, having said that and sounding extremely libertarian, let me go and introduce some people to you. There's an organization that I've become aware of that I really like, Americans for Prosperity. Americans for Prosperity is a national, one of the largest grassroots advocacy organizations in the entire country. They advocate for the conservative principles of less government, more opportunity for the free market. That being said, there's two individuals, one of whom I've known for years as his time in Montgomery coincided with mine. Adam Thompson serves as the Alabama State Director for Americans for Prosperity. He's spent 15 years in state government, so he knows it inside and out, knows where the bones are buried. But he's also not only served as a deputy commissioner of a state cabinet agency, he's been in roles with the governor's office, state auditor's office. And he's also accompanied today by Sophia Hamilton, who's a policy analyst at Americans for Prosperity. She advocates for accessible and affordable quality health care. And today we're going to talk about that in particular. All right, having said all that, maybe I ought to bring them on. Adam Thompson, Sophia Hamilton, how are y'all doing?
Good afternoon. Doing well, Senator. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks. And is Sophia on the line right there with you, I hope?
Yes, I am. It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me today.
Well thank you both. And thanks for what you do, by the way, for the cause, so to speak. Adam, I thought, if you don't mind, before we go too much further, you've been on my show before, but I think it'd be fair for the audience to hear a little bit about AFP, Americans for Prosperity, and what Alabama's up to with that that organization.
Absolutely, we'd be glad to. So Americans for Prosperity, like you said, is a national grassroots organization. So we are in 36 states advocating for policies that we believe freedom and opportunity are keys for unleashing prosperity for all. We believe people are capable of extraordinary things when barriers are removed. And unfortunately, far too often, those barriers are governmental.
Yeah.
And so we advocate for those policies and help individuals take action to advocate for policies that will make their lives better, provide more freedom and opportunity so they can live their version of the American dream. There are no one-size-fits-all options. And so we connect with neighbors and friends and communities across the state of Alabama to advocate for those policies. So like this last legislative session, we were successful in getting school choice passed in Alabama.
Absolutely.
So in the next session, we're going to take on regulatory reform, which we'll talk about here with you this afternoon, and some of the things that are happening. But your comments right before the break were just spot on.
Well, no, and listen, I've seen you around Montgomery for a bit. I mean, I know your conservative bent, and I'm excited to see you very much in the mix right now with an organization that helps hold government accountable. That being said, just for today's benefit, one of the things that really galls me, and I've had experience with it, certificate of need. A lot of folks don't realize that Alabama has this archaic system of stymieing the private sector in the medical field by requiring them to prove their reasons for even wanting to exist. And I'll tell you my own personal story, but before we do that, you guys both co-authored a piece that came out in Yellowhammer that talked about what happened in Hoover. So I'm gonna throw it back to y'all. Whichever one of you wants to jump in and give the background on this story about Hoover, please do so now.
Yeah, I can go ahead. So just for a baseline, a certificate of need or a CON is essentially a government-mandated permission slip that providers have to obtain from the government before opening healthcare facilities and then caring for patients. And so Alabama is a state who has a certificate of need requirement for healthcare facilities. And the city of Hoover was going about this process and trying to get a certificate of need to open up an ambulatory surgery and medical diagnostic center in their city. They knew that this was needed, and they knew that their citizens wanted it and that there was an opportunity for this business there. So that's why they were going after this certificate of need. They went through all of the process, but they were held up in court for months because of another competitor had the opportunity to just bog them down in litigation. So Hoover ended up spending over $1 million in legal fees just to get this CON awarded and to open up this medical facility that they knew and that their citizens knew that they needed and wanted.
Which really makes no sense. What the government did by establishing the Certificate of Need Board review process, it allows competitors to stop anybody from being competitive. They're allowed to actually intervene in the process that even authorizes. It'd be as if me saying, I'm going to make sure that other radio show is not allowed to exist by just filing a complaint with the organization that certifies radio shows. That makes no sense, and it's really antithetical to the idea of the free market.
Absolutely. And this was the Hoover Healthcare Authority. This was a municipal organization wanting to do this. This is the government seeking permission from another part of the government. I mean, can you imagine if this were private sector entities, which they get caught up in this as well? I mean, this is just an example of the government spending $1 million to fight the government. It just gets crazy.
It does get crazy, and it's really, I love the fact that it's called the certificate of need is actually referred to as a con, because it is, it's a con. But I also look at it and think, why do we have to have the government tell us whether or not we actually need something? The question is, Do we need it? Well, we decided we do. So personally, here's my personal story, then I'll throw it back to y'all. As a state senator, I had a rural county, Cherokee County, in my district, and Cherokee County had no home health. There's no home health organization working in that area. And there's a company that wanted to establish a home health presence in Cherokee County. It would be of benefit to the entire community. It would benefit my constituents. It was a good idea. And I had to literally try to get the COM board to move just to certify whether a county that didn't even have a home health presence could have one. And they finally decided, well, we think you do need it. Well, of course we need it. That's why we're asking for it. But so Hoover finally got this thing done, right?
Yeah, they got they were awarded their certificate of need after spending over $1 million, which I feel like I have to repeat because that's just an insane price tag that you're now passing on to, I'm assuming, taxpayers and also consumers then with higher prices. And so they will be able to start developing this surgery center, but the opening of the surgery center is now pushed back for months because of all of this unnecessary litigation.
Well, and what's crazy is just to be allowed to build, they have to hire lawyers and go ahead and expect, especially in a competitive market on something, expect that the opposition may wind up basically filing a complaint or trying to slow things down. I mean, there were even, in this case, I read your article. In the Hoover Certificate of Need case, it was months of hearing, 10 days in court, 2,500 pages of testimony, 42 witnesses, and even salacious allegations of blackmail. Look, I'm a practicing attorney. I can just tell you some of the biggest cases I've had never came close to that level. And that's just to find out whether or not it was okay for someone to compete in the market.
Yeah, it is. It's honestly insane. I was following this story for months as it was unwinding. And I focus on con issues throughout the United States, but this one really kept my attention. And the allegations of blackmail, all of the different drama around this was really just to keep the case in court and to keep competition out of the market. Because under the con system, incumbent businesses really do have the upper hand. And we don't see that in any other sector of business outside of healthcare. It's not like we're allowing big businesses like Starbucks to keep small mom-and-pop coffee shops out of the business just because they don't think the community needs it.
Yeah.
We allow the community to make that decision for themselves.
Well, and rightfully so, because the idea of the American system of free market, I've used the term several times, means if you can build the better mousetrap, then you should be allowed to do so, and people will flock to you, and your competition will then rise to the level of competition, or they will fade away because they didn't keep up. But the idea that your competition can keep you from even getting started by just denying you having a, or your community having a need for you, is just wrong. Hey, listen, guys, I tell you what, let's do. I'm about 30 seconds from the mandatory time to take a break. Let me go ahead and take the break now. And if you guys can hang on the line, I'd like to come back and hear what other states are doing. Sophia, you can probably enlighten us on that and where their AFP has got something coming for Alabama, okay? All right, we're taking a break right now. I've got Adam Thompson and Sophia Hamilton from Americans with Prosperity. Listen, this is unreal. And the fact that we subject ourselves to this on a regular basis is even more unreal. There's got to be some reform on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going to go right back to the phones right now with Adam Thompson and Sophia Hamilton, both with Americans for Prosperity. And they're an organization, one of the largest in the nation, that advocates for conservative policies related to basically getting government out of the way of the success of the private sector and reducing the impact of regulation upon the private sector and among other things. We just finished talking about the certificate of need laws that sort of bind up the medical profession and give you, by the way, the ability, or give incumbents the ability to stymie any competition in their market. It really is a backward system. It's sort of antithetical to the American dream. That being said, let me bring them back on right now and just ask, Sophia, you study this on a national basis. I know there have been several states, I think Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida have each taken steps to try and reform their COM programs. But Alabama, where do we compare to other states, and what do you see as being the way forward on all this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now, there's about 35 states who have at least one type of con law on their books. So we have our work cut out for us here, but we have seen a growing trend of states repealing or significantly reforming their con laws, and that trend has been very profound in the South. 2 years ago, I believe it was 2022, South Carolina went and repealed their entire con regime, so they no longer have any con law. So would love to see that in Alabama, but I can really pass that on to Adam because he's more aware of the situation on the ground in Alabama and the possibilities for reform there.
Adam, you got any input on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly something we're going to be pursuing. You know, it's probably going to take a multi-year effort, quite frankly, because it's so entrenched within the state. But there needs to be changes, right? It is stifling healthcare access and economic growth in the healthcare industry. Just like a lot of the regulatory reform that we want to see happen within the state. You know, con is just one of them. We want to see, administrative rule reform and other occupational licensing reform, including abolishing, frankly, just some unneeded boards and commissions that are doing nothing but charging individuals money for no health, safety, or welfare reasons. So certificate of need reform is at the top of our list. And it's something we're going to be advocating and working with partners and identifying lawmakers who want to make sure that Alabamians can live in a freer, more prosperous state.
Absolutely. I mean, I was shocked when I found out certain things. Like I think I told you offline that the Landscape Architecture Board just gave me fits. And then one of the ones that really got me was the fact that barbers and hairstylists don't like to be considered lumped into the same category. They have a competitive nature there, but they're all governed by the same board, and that was a huge to do. I mean, go figure that occupational licensure is really just the government saying, okay, we will allow you to work. I get why attorneys and even doctors and some professions have to have some measure of governance. But there's a lot of them out there, like hair braiders. Why do you have to have an occupational license to be a hair braider?
Absolutely. My favorite example to use is the Interior Design Board here in Alabama. And then this is nothing against interior designers, but I don't think they should be registered by the state. I really don't care if you have an ugly color of paint on your wall in your house. Right? There's no health, safety, welfare for that board. And so people like Senator Elliott down in Baldwin County, you know, have made these boards and commissions and occupational licensing a high priority, and certainly we appreciate that and want to find other lawmakers in the legislature who want to help, like I said, have more freedom and prosperity in the state, and that starts by letting people live their version of the American dream and removing those just unnecessary requirements.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let me ask you, go back to Sophia again. Hey, Sophia, is there any model legislation? I mean, I know that organizations like AFP and others that I've worked with or been aligned with before, I used to be with the Alabama Policy Institute, and we had sometimes model legislation that would be promoted so that states could try to get in line with each other. Is there anything being floated right now in CON reform as model legislation?
Yeah, I actually, over the summer, I was at the American Legislative Exchange Council conference, and there was model legislation that was passed there on certificate of need reform, actually in regards to birthing centers, which is one of the most egregious examples of certificate of need and where it can really impact patients' health and welfare. And that's a great piece of model legislation, and I think it gives states a good basis of what reform looks like and why we're going after reform of this archaic system.
Well, it needs to happen. And y'all are doing some, you know, the Lord's work basically, but one day maybe people will begin to see that government just keep feeding itself. It's what I call a self-licking ice cream cone. It creates the regulations so that it can create the jobs to enforce the regulations so that it can stymie the private sector, and then at the same time forgetting the private sector is what pays for the public sector. It's an amazing thing.
Absolutely. And I would be remiss if I didn't say Alabama Policy Institute and Stephanie Smith are great supporters of this, and we work well with them and certainly appreciate all the work they have done building up to this point as well and working with us going forward.
Absolutely. Well, Adam Thompson, Sophia Hamilton, thank you for the work you're doing with Americans for Prosperity. If folks out there want to find out more about your organization, where can they go to see what you're up to?
Absolutely. They can check out Americans for Prosperity, all spelled out, .org, where they can sign up and click Alabama and get resources and alerts and get connected with what we're doing.
All right. Well, you guys, thanks so much for your work. We appreciate it. We'll have you back on again sometime soon. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That was Adam Thompson and Sophia Hamilton with Americans for Prosperity. And listen, I tell you guys all the time that there are organizations out there that stand for what you stand for. There, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And if you're having those water cooler conversations with a friend and you've got these resources like Alabama Policy Institute for Alabama-centric laws, or Americans for Prosperity with a national perspective, or Alliance Defending Freedom, or Liberty Council. I mean, these organizations exist. Heritage Foundation, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. They are replete with information that will help you be a conservative. All right, we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk about Biggie Size. Going to do some Biggie Size. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.